Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast with Essan Coman, Head of MENA Research and Strategy. It's Wednesday, 8th April 2020, and we're publishing this podcast on MUFGEMEA.com, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. So Essan, global oil producers are set to hold a two-day virtual meeting on the 9th and 10th of April to address the unprecedented imbalance in oil markets. Can you offer us some framework around what's at stake and what can investors expect from these deliberations?
Right, okay, so global oil markets are well and truly in uncharted waters, and the emergency virtual meetings amongst the OPEC Plus Alliance and the G20 energy ministers is fundamentally set to decide on the strategy as how best these global oil producers aim to manage the unprecedented hits to global oil demand caused by the coronavirus. Now, the overwhelming scale of the crisis in global oil markets is such that the incentives for these global oil producers to formulate a deal are monumental, yet so are the challenges. Now, a clear binary outcome is on the table in our view. Either agree unequivocally to strict, obligatory, and observable coordinated cuts, or disagree and return to pumping at will. Now, our base case scenario going into these meetings is that a nominal quantum of production cuts, which on balance we believe will probably take shape in some magnitude during the meetings, albeit some fudge here and there in terms of the maths which will have to be mastered, but critically, however, and important for us to stress here, and this is the key, we believe that a nominal level to be agreed will not be enough to offset the extent to which COVID-19 has significantly damaged demand. And our forecast is for global oil demand to contract by 19.1 million barrels per day in April and 12.3 million barrels per day on average in the second quarter. Yet the time-limited one-off supply management expected cuts to the unprecedented state of affairs would nevertheless materially lessen the risk of storage being filled and offer a smoother route to working off inventories. Now, risks, of course, surrounding the meeting are abound. Yes, the prospects of a large, credible, coordinated global supply cut is gaining some traction, but the messaging amongst the key producers has been rather incoherent, and free rider problems remain, which is keeping markets in suspense as how the meetings will evolve and take shape. Also, whilst we believe on the balance of probabilities, yes, an agreement will be reached, a collective coherent and convincing supply side action is far from certain, and the central directional path of all markets and with the prices rests with the scale and duration of COVID-19. And finally, I think another factor to bear in mind and a real risk that production shutting economics could really test globally as super contango and storage distress may reemerge, pushing the front end of Brent back towards the low 20 levels.
So you mentioned the risks involved in achieving an agreement. Can you elaborate on the central sticking points that could obstruct the global oil deal being achieved?
So building on what we discussed, the scale of the crisis in the global industry is such that the incentives to forge a deal are immense, but yet so are the challenges. And markets are far from convinced that some of the most sticky issues can easily be resolved. So let me highlight four key hurdles that investors, I think, should be cognizant of. Now, first, we mentioned the nominal quantum of cuts, and yes, all producers are aligned that the central challenge is to cut a large enough magnitude of production and immediately to help stem the precipitous collapse in demand and with it avoid forced curtailments in output. However, there is ample differences in producer expectations of what is the sweet spot level of production curves that is required at the current juncture. Second, we have the country allocation of how to distribute the burden, which by and large has been the recurrent challenge of coordinated action to date. And this is the classic prisoner's dilemma concern that some producers will take on less of the distribution of cuts and free ride on higher prices, which continues to linger on. Third, and a central point, surrounds the US legal and free market hurdles. Now, antitrust laws restrict the ability of US oil companies working together to reduce production, even if enough of them wanted to. And in fact, most US oil majors are opposed to coordination, both for ideological as well as for economic reasons. However, explicitly mandating production curtailments in a deal with OPEC Plus that President Trump has criticized for so many years would also be politically testing. And for us, it would be challenging to implement in a free market economy where almost, you have 9,000 independent US oil gas producers, each with their own reserve base, each with their own debt and profitability profile and corporate strategy. So getting consensus on production, even amongst the most largest US producers of that group, would be close to impossible. Now, one way President Trump could get around this is to put forward involuntary cuts, an avenue of which is fought as a sharp revision in US oil production forecasts, which was put forward recently by the US Department of Energy as a form of commitment to global curbs. But it remains to be seen if this sharp production decline forecasted by the Department of Energy will be enough to satisfy the core OPEC producers of Saudi Arabia and Russia. And finally, the baseline level of cuts, and this is an open question. So far, there appears to be disagreement over the baseline level, with Russia pushing for cuts relative to the average Q1 supply levels, whereas others, such as Saudi Arabia, are reportedly focused on potential cuts from the latest April, much higher numbers. And so just to put this into context, Saudi Arabia pushed 9.8 million barrels per day on average in Q1, but is currently pumping a much higher record level of 12.3 million barrels per day. And thus, it isn't its advantage to negotiate from this standpoint. And so there is a lot of complex maths involved in striking a deal.
And finally, what is MUFG's outlook on oil prices following the meetings by global oil producers?
Well, from an oil price perspective, any such global coordinated supply cuts, in our view, would only succeed in limiting the downside of prices. In essence, ostensibly carving out an artificial oil price floor, with the time it will take to adopt and implement coordinated supply curtailments across countries, it would likely to leave it too late to offset the ongoing surge in inventories. So to succinctly put this, agreement is primarily aimed at preventing a further collapse in prices rather than boosting them significantly. So we believe prices are therefore expected to remain under pressure until the market adjusts and producers will unavoidably be forced to close down output at the scale pretty much not witnessed in the oil industry in recent years. Now, how much oil, lower can oil prices go? Well, I think for us, we view that the next leg low in oil prices will be a function of the scale of production that will inevitably have to be shut in. You know, we have high cost producers primarily in the US shale space, also in the Canadian tar sands, in the North Sea and marginal fields in Asia. They're already operationally inefficient at current oil prices, and the pain will only get worse if prices remain protracted for a longer duration of time. However, entities will hope that other producers shut off production first, creating, in a sense, if you like, a war of attrition in the industry. And the largest energy companies have already announced reductions to capital spending plans, cut buybacks, and trimmed dividend payouts in an effort to conserve cash. Specifically in the US, this will reverse some of the transformational gains, of course, witnessed from the oil industry in the last decade. So in all, we maintain our view that the unprecedented oil price collapse is still not yet over, and we don't rule out Brent sporadically testing cash cost levels around $20 per barrel this month, but bouncing back and ending the second quarter at roughly $30-$32 per barrel as COVID-19 slowly ebbs out of the market and the ballooning oversupply begins to ease. For President Trump, and I think this is quite important to mention, given his views are central here, given he was the one who spearheaded meetings amongst global oil producers in the first place, well, he's aiming for a oil price spot. That is to say, prices need to be high enough to sustain a US domestic oil industry so heavily tied to nearly 11 million jobs, with just over a million of those explicitly linked to exploration and production. And meanwhile, he also needs prices to be low enough in the US to provide cheap energy through lower gasoline prices and lower feedstock energies for factories to help prompt an economic rebound after COVID-19 begins to slowly ebb out the equation. So just to conclude, the central directional part of oil markets and with it prices for us rests on COVID-19 pandemic. And if the global lockdown looks like it will stretch into the third quarter, then the impact of any global coordinated cuts would diminish quickly. And indeed for us, without a credible, coherent action from producers to reduce this supply glut, then the situation will considerably worsen as the world runs out of places to store crude being produced that is having no demand for.
Okay, thanks very much, Ehsan. Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.